Thanks for the warm introduction, Peter, and also it's great to be here being served so beautifully in music with Mary and Owen again, so that's great. Now, if you'd like to open up your Liturgy of the Word, we're going to be spending a few moments looking at those parables, and then we're going to be talking a little bit about Bush Church Aid, and particularly the Waltons, who you very generously pray for and support, just to fill you in on some of their ministries as well. But how about I pray? And I thought I would actually pray using the words of that first hymn we sang this morning. Lord, your word is the word alone that gives life. Please will you fire us up this morning. Speak to our hearts, set our souls ablaze, teach, train, rebuke, and inspire us. We pray that we might give you the praise you are so worthy of. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't know if you've ever walked the bridge to the MCG for a footy game. A few years ago, my dad, myself, and my son Aaron were three of the 90,000 plus people to witness the opening of the AFL season at the MCG, and as we walked off the Yarra Bridge, so we were among the people like this. As we walked off the Yarra Bridge, there was a man just at the end of the bridge before you get to the MCG who was open-air preaching to the people on the way to the football. And he was preaching about God's love and forgiveness in Jesus. He was calling people to turn to Jesus and be saved. He wasn't shouting judgment. He wasn't angry. In fact, you could hear and almost feel the compassion and pleading in his voice. And I've heard a lot of open-air preachers in my time, you know, Rundle Mall, as I'm sure we all have. But this person has stuck with me because I don't think I've ever heard anyone go about it in such a way that he did. Part of me wanted to stop and say, well done, mate, keep going, as a Christian. But I didn't, because I'd come for the footy that night. I had a competing agenda. Maybe you know that experience. But how do you feel when you see or walk past a street preacher? What do you think? You see, part of the conversation going on in my head was like, oh, is this really the time or place? You know? Aren't you just wasting your time? But then where else might busy, footy-mad people hear about Jesus? I mean, God knows they aren't about to step into church, are they? It's interesting, from Proverbs chapter 1, we read this. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy streets. She cries out at the entrance of the city gates and sporting stadiums. She speaks, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. That's God's promise. See, God knows his word is never not in competition with other words. It's like being in the central markets, one of many words in the marketplace of ideas. God knows his agenda of love for our lives is never not in competition with many other competing agendas and responsibilities that we have of just being human in this world. Mark's gospel presents Jesus as God's wisdom calling out in the markets, the noisy streets, the city gates, the crossroads of life, inviting, pleading, compelling anyone within earshot to repent and believe in me, that's Jesus, not me, for the kingdom of God is near. That's how Jesus launches his public ministry in Mark 1, verse 15. Now, the kingdom of God is sort of shorthand for knowing and enjoying God as a forgiven, reconciled child of God in God's new heavens and earth. According to Jesus, the kingdom of God must be entered into. And the only way a person can enter into the kingdom of God is as they receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. And some have in Jesus' day, but not many. I mean, if Jesus really was the Messiah long awaited for Israel, why wasn't everyone flocking to Jesus? The pollies, the educated, the religious elite, the corporates, the CEOs, the sponsors. I mean, that's our experience, isn't it, in this world? Why, if he's really the real deal, God on earth, well, why isn't more people flocking to him? I mean, our own family or friends even. So many are just like, who cares, or they're against Jesus and his followers. And it seems to be getting worse in our country. Why? Well, that's really the context for Jesus' seed parables there in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is actually answering these sorts of questions, and especially for doubting or discouraged disciples who have gone all in with Jesus, but now they're wondering, oh, is he really the real deal? Do we keep going? Do we give up? Is Jesus still really worth giving everything up for? And so Jesus begins with the parable of the soils that we heard there as well, the kingdom growth described. He's really describing the kingdom growth in John chapter 4. And, of course, the chapter begins, doesn't it? You know, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And the most ordinary farming story, I grew up on a farm, but it's got such a powerful message. One sower king, sowing one seed broadly. Jesus, of course, describing his ministry as he travels to regional, rural and remote communities, broadcasting the seed of God's word. I think we're on to the next slide, I reckon. Let's go. Does that work? It does. There we go. There we are, the Gospel of Mark. Beautiful. One sower king. He's sowing his seed broadly. And, of course, he's a bit like a BCA person, really. He's travelling to regional, rural, remote communities, and he's broadcasting, preaching the seed of God's word, isn't he? And Jesus is trying to help people understand that as he does that, his word, like seed, is falling on different sorts of soils that represent different sorts of people. Jesus' word is getting all sorts of receptions and reactions, as God's word always has since the beginning. But here's what we need to understand about everything Jesus is trying to say in the lead up to our two parables this morning. That the reactions are not stopping Jesus from sowing his word. Jesus is sowing impartially and without playing favourites, and he does that to the very end. As painful as it can be at times, especially with family and friends, we are not responsible for the soil or the sort of reception that God's word will receive. That's between that person and their maker. And so we shouldn't be surprised about people's different reactions. Don't let people's reactions trip us up or stop us or silence us from continuing to share the good news of Jesus with other people. Don't lose heart. Be encouraged. There is good soil out there. And that brings us to those two parables today. Kingdom growth assured. Kingdom growth assured. Jesus' focus is not on the soil here in those two parables we heard read, but on the seed, and particularly the nature of the seed, the power of the seed. Just as life is in the seed, so eternal life is in God's word, the seed of God's word. Jesus' point is that God's kingdom growth is not only inevitable, but it's unstoppable. Not only inevitable, but it's unstoppable. Let's just read that parable out again, the first one. Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, only Mark records this parable. Jesus' focus here is on the mysterious power of the seed itself to produce the crop. The farmer scatters the seed, and over time, that seed, it takes root, it grows, and after many nights and days, the seed matures and produces a full head of grain. Not only can the farmer not make the seed grow, they don't understand how it grows. Over time, it does grow, it produces a crop. And Jesus' point is very simple. The end is in the beginning. The head of grain is actually in the seed. The grain harvest is in the potential of the seed sown. As I said, I grew up on a dairy farm. I used to love going out with the tractor, you know, and you'd sow the seed under the ground, and you'd come back 6 months later and there was a full crop, full heads, and you would harvest the seed. The point of Jesus' parable is that just as seed sowing is followed by harvest time, so although we may not see initial results from sharing the gospel of Jesus, that they may seem small and unimpressive, a harvest is coming. Take heart, the growth of God's kingdom is unstoppable. God's word is powerful. In fact, the Apostle Peter describes God's word as imperishable. God's word will last into eternity. And whoever has that word implanted within them, so that person will be brought into eternity. Take heart. We're part of this unstoppable, growing kingdom of God. Here we sit this morning, witnesses of this. God's word is powerful, more powerful than we can imagine. Through his word, the Spirit of God is saving people from death to life, is bringing about God's intended purposes for people in the world. And so we come to that second parable where we're told the kingdom growth is not only assured but universal. And Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, the use of the mustard seed here is proverbial. It's not the smallest seed, but it was the smallest seed for Jesus' hearers in his day. And the contrast here is in the smallness of the seed and the hugeness of the shrub that grows up to 4 metres tall that begins with such a small beginning. It's a simple contrast going on here. And again, it's just to provide reassurance. The scope or reach of God's kingdom will be massive despite hidden small beginnings. And so hard for these disciples who've left it all behind to follow Jesus to understand what they're a part of. The image actually draws on an Old Testament picture or metaphor for greatness. During the exile of Israel, when there was a very small band of faithful people just hanging on to God, they're in exile, right? And God promises that when he comes, when his Messiah comes, the faithful remnant of Israel will be like a tree with many branches. In fact, so great, not only will people from all the scattered nations of Israel come and find a home, but people from all the nations of the earth will be able to come and find a home and be part of God's family. Such a beautiful picture. We've seen it, haven't we? You know, birds coming in to a tree, nesting. The immediate context is Jesus teaching about, again, his small band of disciples. They might understand what they're a part of. And when the opposition, it's growing to the point where Jesus is going to be rejected, you know, and hung on a cross, they'll run and scatter. They get restored, forgiven, recommissioned. What Jesus is saying is that I'm here to start up the ultimate startup company. I am the ultimate startup. There is no bigger, greater, more enduring startup in the universe than what I'm doing here. And it begins with me hanging on a cross. Wow. And so I'm offering any boy, girl or grown up the ultimate return, eternal life. A Read Mark's gospel for yourself if it's been a while. Only Jesus' word has the power to heal and make people whole. Only Jesus' word has the authority to free people overrun by the power of evil, bang, in an instant. To make outcasts clean. Only Jesus' word has the power to remove thoroughly, completely, forever, the stain and shame of sin. To reconcile people with God, to raise them from the dead, to enter God's kingdom, to enjoy eternal life with God. Only God's word has the power to do this. This is why Mark reports Jesus going to the streets, seaside locations, even remote towns and villages, proclaiming the good news word. It's why he says, I must go to other towns and preach. He's like a farmer broadcasting his seed everywhere. And as we follow after Jesus, we are to be like farmers, sowing the seed of God's word without playing favourites, impartially. How else can they be saved? And so that brings me just to spend a few minutes on BCA and how the seed of God's word is bearing fruit through your prayer and financial partnership with BCA and Ruth and Lee Walton. Feel free to dig out the prayer diary, okay, in your bags. First person to find out what page Ruth and Lee Walton are on gets a prize, all right, from Peter. So we're going to watch a little video, okay, now. And if we just sort of get there to the, where are we? Here we go. Watch this little video. It's really a story of where Ruth works. She's the Anglican Dean that looks after all the Aboriginal communities along the Roper River to bring students in to study at Noongalinya Bible College. They turned 50 last year, had their Jubilee. And what we're going to watch is Emily Quinn, who also is a BCA person that we support, explaining the story of Noongalinya, but then we're going to meet numbers of Aboriginal people who have been on the receiving end of having this, the seed of God's word, sown in their lives over many years. Okay? Thanks, Kevin.
Hi everyone, I'm Emily Quinn at Noongalinya in Darwin. We're a college for Indigenous adults, a Bible college, and I'm excited about the work here because we work with amazing Indigenous brothers and sisters from all over the Top End, into the Kimberleys, to Queensland, right down to Alice Springs and into the APY lands. Here at the college, I teach literacy as much as possible through the lens of scripture. So we look at different big Bible stories for each block for each year and use that to develop literacy and also numeracy. One thing that you could pray for is for the students as they come in at the start of each block. They come in for 4 weeks at a time to study, which is a long time to be away from home and from family. And we know that life in community is not easy for a lot of people. Pray for faithfulness as they study and learn more about our God.
Didn't went to school, naughty boy that time, hunting, and sometime I was stealing, petrol sniffing. The first thing that I was telling myself, I was just nobody. I don't know where I was going.
What do you think? It's pretty moving, isn't it? I think we can lose touch with what we're a part of and think that God's maybe not as active in the world, his words maybe not as powerful. But that is a story of power. Jesus telling this mustard seed parable, he's got in mind these 180 First Nations peoples in Australia. Amazing. That's Mandy there receiving her diploma of ministry. She's now teaches alongside Emily. Do you know on average how long it takes an Indigenous person those who go on and receive just a diploma in ministry? How long did it take you to receive a degree at uni? 3 years? 4 years? 18 years. That's why we've got to be playing the long game. Whether the harvest is in 6 months or 18 years, Jesus promises there's always a harvest. Our job is to sow. and to keep supporting the sowers. What did Mandy say? You want him to come change you. Do you? Want him? Like really? To come and do whatever it takes to change all of you, every bit of you? This next slide, here are some people out in community, graduation ceremony again, 12, 18 years to receive their diplomas, coming in for 4 weeks at a time. The government pays for all of their travel from anywhere in Australia and their accommodation. Christians, we pay for the Christian staff at Noongalinya to be there to do what they do. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're challenged. It's a pretty simple invitation. I don't know what I've done with my prayer card. Oh, here it is. Please would you take this home, stick it on your bathroom mirror when you brush your teeth at night, you know, pray for Ruth and Lee. Or your fridge door. On the back is a QR code or the website that actually you go there. They've got their own web page. You can read about their ministry. Down the bottom you can sign up to receive their prayer and newsletters and their monthly prayer updates to pray. Very simple. It's also where you can sign up to give financially to support Ruth and Lee, but to send the many more that are needed to go to Noongalinya and also to the hundreds of other remote communities that have got no one. No one to tell them and teach them the good news of Jesus. Look, as we turn for the home straight, Jesus' question for us today is very simple. How are we hearing Jesus and his word? Are we understanding how God's kingdom is growing? Are we excited by this? We walk past an open-air preacher like the one I did at the footy, and who of us doesn't think, this is a waste of time and effort, isn't it? It's what that man was doing is what Jesus himself was doing, wasn't it? He was an open-air preacher. Was that a waste of time? Here we sit. So many words in our world saying we are wasting our time here this morning. We are wasting our time trying to talk to our family and friends and neighbours about Jesus. We are wasting our resources and money sending and supporting seed sowers like Ruth and Lee Walton. It's a waste of time. That's what the world wants us to think. Not according to Jesus. So don't be discouraged by what you see, however promising or unpromising. Yes, we'll keep being surrounded by hard hearts, competing life pressures and anxieties. We're never not going to be challenged and seduced by the deceitfulness of riches and the easy life, the life of pleasure, a life that doesn't involve putting ourselves out there for Jesus. It's always been the way for all people in every generation. But take heart, said Jesus. Stay strong, be courageous. My word is incredibly powerful, says Jesus. It is the most powerful life-transforming force in the universe. And here we sit as recipients of that word. Wow. God doing his work in us, and I pray more and more through us. And so, sisters and brothers, keep trusting this word to not only get the job done for you, to bring you home safe and safe with Jesus, but to get it done in the lives of others as well. That's what we're a part of. Wow. Let me pray. Merciful Father, thanks so much for Jesus' teaching, Mark's gospel, these parables. Beautiful, beautiful, simple reminder this morning of this beautiful, powerful word that you have implanted in our lives. Here we sit as recipients of others who have told and taught us about your word. Thank you, Lord. May we know the joy of being part of this mission with you as we send and support others to go the distance, and also as we just know more the joy of together trying to hold out this beautiful word of saving grace to our neighbours, our family, our friends, Lord. And we pray this for their salvation, for your glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.